This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Friday. Officials continue to investigate Wednesday's collision between a passenger train and an oil tanker truck near Rifle. According to Colorado State Trooper Hunter Matthews, the truck driver was waiting to enter Highway 6.
So he just pulled onto the tracks and was waiting for traffic to pass by. Probably thought he had more time, and the train obviously can't stop on a dime. So
the tanker split apart and spilled an estimated 6,000 gallons of asphalt tar onto the ground. Matthews said the tar was mostly contained to the grassy median, and the Colorado Department of Transportation was able to clean Highway 6 and reopen it just after 4 p.m. Matthews said the asphalt tar didn't spread very far, avoiding any waterways connecting to the nearby Colorado River. Repairs to the damaged railway are ongoing. The tanker driver was taken to the hospital with minor injuries, but of the more than 300 train passengers and crew, none reported injuries. Garfield County's County Road 108 bridge will close for emergency repairs on Monday. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports.
Carbondale's County Road 108 bridge, also known as the Thompson Creek Bridge, went down to one lane in early April for pothole repairs. Now, emergency repairs are needed because the deck welding has come undone. Garfield County Road and Bridge Director Scott Marsh told Garfield County Commissioners on Monday that the closure will likely last for at least 2 weeks to reassess damage and make repairs. When vehicles pass over the bridge, it bounces, which could weaken other welds. The asphalt on the bridge will be removed, and the bridge deck will be re-welded. The pedestrian walkway will remain open, but commuters will need to use alternate routes. Commissioners approved a $130,000 capital supplement from the Road and Bridge Fund on Monday, as well as a contract with a construction company. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
Glenwood City Council agreed last night to help residents at Cavern Springs Mobile Home Park buy the land under their homes. That's to avoid possible rent increases or redevelopment after the park went up for sale last year. Residents need to raise about $8 million by the end of the month to secure a loan and put in an offer. Several councilors were skeptical about providing housing funds just outside of city limits. But about 36% of Cavern Springs residents work in Glenwood, and many of their kids go to school there. The council voted 5-2 in favor of contributing $500,000. The money comes from a city lodging tax fund for workforce housing that was approved by voters in 2022. Other communities are also supporting the park. Carbondale, Aspen, Snowmass, and Picken County have agreed to commit funds. Mental health therapy is often difficult to access in rural communities. That includes the Roaring Fork Valley, where there's a shortage of providers and services are expensive. But as Aspen Public Radio's Sarah Torrey reports, a new initiative is trying to help. In statewide news, an effort at the state capitol to reduce credit card swipe fees is pitting banks against retailers, restaurants, and other businesses. It passed the legislature Wednesday. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
When you pull out your credit card at a store or restaurant, that business pays the bank a percentage of your total charge as a swipe fee. The bill removes sales tax from the calculation, basing swipe fees only on the underlying purchase. Backers say it will help struggling local businesses, saving them thousands of dollars a year. Democratic House Speaker Julie McCluskey is a sponsor.
When a merchant takes a credit card from a consumer and processes that card, they should not have to pay fees on the local or state taxes that they are collecting from that customer.
Banks are pushing back hard. They say it's too complicated to isolate sales tax out of the fees and argue big box stores, not mom and pop shops, will benefit the most. A spokesperson for Governor Jared Polis said he would review the final bill when it reaches his desk.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Colorado lawmakers rejected a bill yesterday that would have created incentives for building data centers. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Lucas Brady Woods reports.
Data centers are the infrastructure behind digital services like video streaming, cloud storage, and artificial intelligence. They're in high demand, but they've also drawn scrutiny for using a lot of energy and water. The bill would have tried to lure data centers to Colorado with a 20-year break on sales and use taxes. It would have also imposed moderate environmental guardrails. The bill's Democratic sponsors argued bringing data centers here would create jobs and revenue. They tried for months to build support for the measure, but ultimately it did not have the votes to clear its first hearing. Another group of Democrats are still working on a competing bill. Theirs is focused on strict environmental regulations for data centers.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And in regional news, ahead of what could be a highly active wildfire season, technology is increasingly being used as a tool. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Jenny Kinsey reports, AI alerts are increasingly part of the early warning equation across our region.
Wildfires have become more common and more extreme in recent decades, a rising concern for communities across the West. Technology holds promise to help firefighters become aware of incidents as they spark. Enhancing intervention, Arvind Setam is co-founder of Pano AI, which has deployed sensors and detectors in 17 states, including New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah.
Last wildfire season in the U.S. alone, we detected 725 named wildfires. And of those, half of these, we were the first notification.
Setam says the fires detected by AI cameras are reported about 45 minutes earlier. Pano AI charges $50,000 per year per camera, which includes coordination with first responders. I'm Jenny Kinsey for the Mountain West News Bureau in Albuquerque.
Wyoming and Colorado will now collaborate on carbon storage wells near the state border, and the model may expand to neighboring states. The Mountain West News Bureau's Hannah Mertzbach has more.
These wells act like giant straws. They inject thousands to millions of tons of carbon dioxide into sealed-off rock formations deep underground. Those pores can extend for miles, according to Lily Barco with the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality.
While state borders are fixed, the geological formations required for safe carbon sequestration are not.
Colorado and Wyoming have signed an agreement that could be used by other states. They'll coordinate if there's wells within a mile of the shared state border. Barco says they'll ensure CO2 doesn't cause contamination of drinking water sources, and they'll protect landowners and help communities weigh in. Carbon storage isn't widely used yet, but it's seeing more attention right now. Many data centers want to rely on natural gas for energy, while canceling out emissions by injecting carbon into the ground. Critics argue they should rely on renewable energy instead. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.